KOLDCnews.com.
The following program is paid for by Barbara Arnwine.
The topics, views, and opinions expressed on the air and via All Igniting Change with Barbara Arnwine, platforms by host Barbara Arnwine Esquire, guests, and supporters are their own and are independent of any organization, entity. Nothing said on the show or any of its platforms constitutes a client-attorney relationship or serves as legal advice, counsel. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Igniting Change, its platforms, or the show's host. It's time now for Igniting Change, a weekly provocative and empowering program where you, the listener, can ignite change. Now here's your host, Barbara Arnwine.
Get up, stand up.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for listening from throughout the country. We are so grateful for you and for your participation in Igniting Change. Oh my goodness, we have a great show for you today. But before we get into that show, I want to introduce my co-host, the mighty Daryl D. Jones. He is one of our nation's most outstanding attorneys. He is one of our nation's outstanding, bold legal strategist when it comes to fighting for our democracy, our voting rights, and he is the chairman of the board of the Transformative Justice Coalition. I'm talking about Daryl D. Jones. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Barbara. It must be Tuesday. It must be noon Eastern Standard Time because we're talking about igniting change and igniting change around this country. Barbara, my goodness, you know, what a week it has been since last Tuesday. There has been so many things that have occurred, so many people that are solidifying positions, so much in the world of potential appointments by the incoming Trump administration. There's so much to talk about that's happening. But you know, Barbara, one of the biggest things that's happening this Tuesday is that this is Giving Tuesday. This is the Tuesday, Barbara, that set aside where organizations such as the Transformative Justice Coalition, you know, ask our donors, ask our listeners, ask those that support the cause to give to the degree that they can. And you can go to tjcoalition.org and you can look at different ways you can donate. But it's because of our listeners, it's because of our supporters, it's because of the financial support that we receive from folks around the country that allows us the opportunity to go into neighborhoods where things are occurring, where rights are being overridden or not being respected, that allows us to go down to Brunswick, Georgia, to deal with situations like Ahmaud Arbery, that allows us also, Barbara, to train 100 young activists every year. Isn't that right, Barbara?
Absolutely. And, you know, Giving Tuesday, everyone, today, you know, you don't have to have $1,000, $100. Give what you have, but give it to the Transformative Justice Coalition so we can do this work. Again, as Daryl mentioned, you can go to tjcoalition.org, tjcoalition, coalition.org. Find us. We're there. TJC wants to do this work. We got to do it. We intend to this next year educate and assist voters in 20 states, which will be holding major statewide, mayoral, and other local elections. You heard me, 20 plus states that we have targeted that are critical for the rights of African Americans and all people of color. We are going to be fighting in the halls of Congress against all these ugly bills. You're going to hear about one of them today as we talk about the evil anti-DEI bill with the NAACP's wonderful leaders. We're going to also, as Daryl mentioned, we're going to be training people. We're going to be doing, making sure our young folks are very much involved. And we're going to be putting up a major new program to fight hate. You heard me, hate, because there's an increase in racial violence, racial hate. You've seen it. People being attacked on airplanes, people being attacked on the streets, people being harassed for just being black, people being harassed for just because somebody thinks they're an immigrant. All of this evil. We got to fight, and especially with mass deportations being threatened and likely an attempted, implementation here in the U.S. We got a fight. We need you. So definitely support the Transformative Justice Coalition, TJCoalition.org. Now we got a program. Woo! One of the things TJC does is sponsor this amazing program every Tuesday, and we have a good program radio show for you today because we are talking with one of the nation's foremost experts. One of the nation's, wonderful gifts to humanity. She is one of the international icons when you talk about the fight against, racism, sexism, misogynoir. We're going to be talking about the major stories the mass media missed in 2024, part one. Yes, all December we cover that theme, or what did they not get right? What big stories did they miss? How did they do what? How did they sell us? What can be done to change that? And we are so happy that we have with us, as I've been building up, one of the most amazing voices in our world. I'm talking about none other than Professor Kimberly Crenshaw. Hey, Kim, welcome to Igniting Change.
Hello, Barbara. It's always a pleasure to be on with you. You keep me motivated.
You know that. You are the founder and the executive director, co-founder and executive director of the African American Policy Forum. You are the founder and executive director of the Center for Intersectionality and Social Policy Studies at Columbia Law School. You also are a major professor at UCLA Law School. You have written so many amazing articles, books. You are a leader on Black feminist legal theory, race, racism, and law. And you are known for coining and promoting the concept of intersectionality and critical race theory. Come on now, one of the leaders of Say Her Name campaign. We are so happy to have you with us today, Kim. And you got a special program coming up tonight. And we want to talk about that and share that with people. And so thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, I'm so excited that you'll be joining us on the program tonight, bringing this energy, your critique, your analysis, and your encouragement to the 92% of us who could figure out how to vote in this last election, the 92% of Black women who got it right. So we're looking forward to having a deep, probing, and encouraging conversation tonight.
These have been some difficult weeks for many in our nation. They've been especially hard for Black women, many who championed the candidacy of Vice President Kamala Harris. But probably more disappointing has been the media's complete failure to discuss the outcomes of this election with a racial, gender, and intersectional lens. We've been hearing everything you can about working class, about the economy, about all these other things, but nobody wants to talk about the big old ugly elephant. And I'm called, elephants aren't
in the room
by nature, but this one's ugly. Sit up there grinning and raising hell. We have not talked about that ugly elephant with one big ear that says racism and a better other big ear talking about sexism and another big old nose running around just lying all the time. I mean, we haven't talked about that. And so the first question for you, Kim, is what grade from A to F would you give the American media's coverage of these elections?
Z.
Z? Oh, my God, Daryl. Daryl, see what the Z? Where did the Z come from?
It's just atrocious. It is horrific. It is you know, the handwriting on the wall, look, if they can't analyze accurately and inclusively the role that race and gender played in this election, not even to mention it in most of the analysis, what can we expect from the media in the next 4 years when the race and gender agenda of this new emboldened MAGA administration goes about the horrific destruction that they are planning to do? This is who we have to look to inform us, to be, you know, that fourth rail in American democracy, and they couldn't even call it after it had happened in this last election. It's not only outrageous, it is destabilizing further, you know, of the democracy. So we decided, look, we understand that one of the problems in the media is that the media are made up of the same people that make up all the rest of American institutions. They are not people who are well equipped to analyze the function of race. They are definitely not well equipped to be critical of the continuing legacy of male centricity in politics, and they certainly can't figure it out when those two things come together. So the misogynoir that was apparent from the very beginning of this campaign, the thing that she had to run against, the thing that all of us black women knew was actually happening, but nonetheless, we still believed that we could triumph over it because of what the options were on the other side. We knew that this was in the making, and so now to be in this post-election moment, having lived through that tornado and basically people walking over the ruins of it like it had never occurred, that it wasn't happening at all. This is classic gaslighting, and it's gaslighting that black women in particular are experiencing. So we decided, let's call everybody together and talk about the experience that we had. We know what we saw. We know what we experienced. We know what happened. The media can say it didn't happen. We know it did, and it's up to us to be able to write our own story, to be able to read what actually happened so we can be better prepared for what's coming down the pike, because there's more of it to come.
Daryl?
You know, Professor Crenshaw, one of the things that I've just been toiling over in my mind, and I'm glad to have you have the opportunity to raise it to you, is that, you know, we talk about the misogyny and how it unveiled itself, revealed itself during this election cycle. When we're talking about the misogyny, are we only talking about sort of the male side of this? Is there something with white women that there's something that's there that they're against a woman serving as president as well? Is that what we see? Is that why we see those high numbers of white women that went against Vice President Harris?
Well, that's why we use the term misogynoir. Misogynoir is misogyny as directed specifically through the lens of anti-blackness. So when we talk about misogynoir, we include not only women, and by that I mean all people who identify as women, whether they're white, brown, Asian, and in fact, some black people, black women, black people who have a particular attitude towards the possibility of a black woman being commander in chief, a black woman in that position. So it is partly what may explain why Clinton got more black votes, black male votes, white votes, than even Kamala Harris. Yes, gender played a role in both of those elections, but race and gender played a particular role in this one. So misogynoir helps us understand that the disadvantage that she had was the fact that she didn't have a gender advantage to overcome racial distrust of her, and she didn't have race solidarity across particularly also, you know, within the Asian American community to resist the misogyny and the anti-blackness. It's as though her intersectional identity came along with a whole range of other disadvantages, so that even groups that you might have predicted would have been beside her were suppressed, with the exception of